Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Mind your business. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Yes, Money FM 89.3. Thanks for joining us on Mind Your Business with me, Audrey Seek, and Ahmad Akhtar. So when you hear the words asset management or fund management, I bet a lot of us picture a room full of people in suits, you know, eyes glued to stock charts, computer screens filled with numbers that we don't quite understand. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Behind every investment firm is a story. And sometimes it's about someone who saw a gap and took a risk and decided to build something of their own in a world as competitive and fast moving as Asia's financial markets.
That's exactly right. So what does it take to not only launch an investment company, but grow it in a market as dynamic and competitive as Asia? We're talking about regulation, strategy, fundraising, and actually managing other people's money. Today, fortunately, we get to hear it straight from someone who's done just that.
Yeah, we get a peek behind the scenes of what it actually takes to set up and grow an investment firm from scratch with Joseph Ong, Executive Director and Co-Founder of EuroAsia Asset Management. Good morning, Joseph. Welcome to the studio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Audrey. Good morning, Matt.
Yeah, welcome to the studio, Joseph. Thanks for coming in. Mm-hmm. Let's start from the beginning, put a bit of context in for our listeners. Prior to founding EuroAsia Asset Management, you were a portfolio manager at Swiss Asia Financial Services. You held leadership roles, including as a COO at Dectos Investment Corporation as well. So what inspired you to take that leap and start your own investment firm? What was the genesis? What was the gap in the market you were looking to fill?
Well, I was always a single track kind of person. Since young, I was always focused on commerce, business administration. When I started out my career, I was in real asset management, not exactly financial assets management. Mm. But then the opportunity came when one of my uni mate invited me to join his investment firm. And that's where I took the plunge from a very comfortable position of management in a real estate hotel company to a financial management company. That is a right around what we have, EuroAsia. Yep.
Okay, so at EuroAsia Asset Management, you've carved out this very unique focus on bridging Asian and European markets. So why this particular focus? What kinds of opportunities does that open up for your investors?
Over at EuroAsia, we believe that there is a gap to be filled in terms of the knowledge between the investors in Europe and in Asia. Specifically, my partner, Karo Pivasi, is in Central Eastern Europe, whereas for myself, based in Singapore, Southeast Asia, we do believe there's a lot of opportunities that both markets are not aware of. And by bridging that knowledge gap, it is a niche that we feel that we can fill up easily. There are real estate opportunities, there are private equity opportunities, there are also macro fund trading opportunities that investors can be exposed to on both sides of the world. And that is one area that they will naturally be very attracted to. Yeah.
Right. Before we dive further into some of your key service offerings, can you walk us through what actually goes into setting up an investment fund from scratch? You know, the blood, sweat, and the tears. Walk us through that.
There is actually a lot of work to do doing that. Obviously, the very first one we need to have is the product. Mm. A lot of due diligence and backtesting and financial analysis has to go into it. And then the second one will naturally be to understand the investor's need. What is the horizon they are looking at? What is the investment profile they are looking at? Whether they are able to take huge returns at, let's say, higher risk, or they are just long-term investors who are looking at, you know, a safer investment process. So these two, basically the product, the investors, and then from there, we have to start to do the prospectus of the fund to suit what investors are looking at in terms of the time horizon, as I mentioned. And obviously, the regulatory part is also very important because in Singapore, we face with very strong regulations.
Yeah. Yep. So speaking of investors, you know, starting a fund is one thing, but financing it is a whole other challenge that a lot of people face these challenges as well. How do you go about raising the initial capital to get EuroAsia Asset Management off the ground? Any lessons that you learned in that process?
Right. Obviously, when you start up, there will be a lot of credibility issues. People will have that doubt whether your investment is prudent enough. So when we start up, naturally, the first source of finance will come from ourselves, for our family and friends. But as you start to gain experience and track record, investors who you have made money for naturally come back to you. Mm. And that's where you can gain the traction to grow the fund faster.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. So let's be more specific now. What kind of fund services do you offer at EuroAsia? Any specific sectors that your funds focus on?
Yes, that's a good question. We actually offer very bespoke fund solutions for our investors. We cater to their investment horizons, their risk appetite, and the type of returns they are aiming for. Over here at EuroAsia, we have a variety of funds that we manage, but in particular, in view of the tariff situation right now and the uncertainty, one of the funds that I will point out here is our flagship fund, SECDI Investments. SECDI Investments is actually a real estate fund based in Europe, very much focused on retail parks, and it's a very defensive style of a fund where we have a very stable returns of 8 to 10% annually. And investors can expect that to be very stable. Unlike when they invest in the public markets, they are exposed to the gyrations and the volatility right now that a lot of investors are exposed to.
Yeah, so you talked about the tariffs, and of course, we've all been following this story. It's been a roller coaster, and we still don't know what's to come. How are you guys preparing for this?
In fact, since last year, we have already started to go into a more market neutral perspective where we have started to liquidate the market positions that is like equities and all. Obviously, we have missed some of the roundup, but we also have missed all these drawdown that we have experienced in just the last maybe 1 or 2 months. Mm. And a lot of investors are already very worried about that. So we have done well on that part for our investors by moving to a more market neutral kind of portfolio where we focus on defensive plays as well as maybe arbitrage strategies as well, where it's totally not correlated with the market. So at night, I will say that we are able to sleep very well. Because we are not aligned with the market volatility so much. Yep.
Yeah, is there a minimum capital requirement to access your funds or investment services? Are you making efforts to increase accessibility beyond high net worth individuals?
So for ZDI Investments, right now, the ticket size, we are looking at a minimum of Euro 100,000. Mm-hmm. That is, if you compare to a bond size, it's actually even lesser than a bond. Over at EuroAsia, we only serve accredited investors at the moment. But for the fund, there is obviously an opportunity to eventually explore IPO, where we could get it listed and retail investors can get a share of it. Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the global uncertainty, the market volatility. In your view, how should investors be approaching these volatile times? What kinds of strategies or even alternative asset classes have you seen gaining ground to help build a more resilient portfolio?
Yes, like I mentioned, we are looking at a more market neutral portfolio right now because of the uncertainty and the tariffs. So a lot of divestment was done last year in terms of the equities portfolio that we have. We shifted into alternative assets such as the real estate fund I mentioned, ZDI Investments. So again, ZDI Investments, because of its non-correlation to the financial markets, it is actually a very robust and very reliable kind of a diversification tool to continue to generate returns at the same time while avoiding the market volatility that we see today.
Yep. Sustainability is also a growing priority for you, it seems. You've launched some ESG products as well. Can you share a case where an ESG-aligned investment outperformed expectations?
Yes. So again, I have to use the example of ZDI Investments. Mm. So ZDI Investments focuses on managing real estate that is a single story in Europe. They are able to quickly install solar panels, which is very green energy over there. And from there, we do actually get income from all these green efforts as well. So the fund performs on both sides, whether it's renter as well as the green energy portion. Yeah.
Okay. So looking back on your own entrepreneurial journey, is there anything you'd wish you'd done differently during the early days of EuroAsia? And what mindset do you think is essential to kind of thrive in this kind of finance world that's always evolving and it's always changing?
Yeah, so I would say that I'm a pragmatic person. I will not look back and dwell on the mistakes that I have made and on opportunities that I should have leveraged on, but rather I will take all these that I have learned in the past to plan forward, to really create a kind of like a plan for me. And then based on this experience I have garnered over the past, I will use it to tweak the plan going forward. So yeah, if you ask me, that would be the advice to me for the future rather than to just look back at the past.
Yeah.
You mentioned that most of your clients are accredited investors. Most of our listeners are retail investors. So any common mistakes you see retail investors making in today's market and how can they avoid them?
I think one of the most common mistakes is greed. A lot of investors, when they see the market is going up and the friends making money on the street, they tend to jump in blindly. Yeah. And then after that, when the market starts to fall, then the other aspect comes in where they start to panic and they sell at the wrong time and buy at the wrong time. So I would say that you have to really do your own due diligence, your own financial analysis and diversify well and don't just blindly follow. Yeah.
And do you think that there's a bit of an obstacle that's being posed by the likes of finfluencers?
So we do have a lot of investors telling us what they learn from just these finfluencers. But still, I think it is important to have own judgment. They can have an input for you, but you have to do your own analysis rather than just follow them blindly. And if they say something is good, you follow. You have to analyze for yourself. If you can't analyze for yourself, then you have to rely on professionals to do that for you.
Yeah. So you talked about, you know, remaining market neutral and all that. Is there a corner of the market that you think people are overlooking? Something with real potential, even when markets are choppy?
Right now, I think one of the ways that people are looking to diversify into gold, because you can see even the monetary currencies, they are weakening throughout. The US dollar, which used to be one of the most reliable, is no longer the case. We are seeing the euro going up. That is also one reason why I actually advocate for people to do diversification into ZDI investments, because it's euro-based. So you have a diversification not only on the asset class, but also on the currency pairs.
And we are sitting here in Singapore. So how does Singapore fit into your regional strategy, and what unique investment opportunities do you see emerging here?
Okay.
Or maybe broadly, what role do you see ASEAN markets playing in the global investment landscape in the next decade or so?
Yeah, so Asian has always been a bedrock for production and manufacturing all these years. Even from China, when China starts to become the factory of the world, in recent years it has spread more to Southeast Asia as well. I think going forward we will continue to be that case, and there is also a lot of talk about using non-Chinese Asian countries to sort of soften the tariff impact, because if you go through China to produce, you actually have to pay higher tariffs. So I think Asian markets are also poised to gain from that. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a fascinating look at what it takes to build a fund, navigate market volatility, and stay ahead in one of the world's fastest moving industries. Joseph, it was great chatting with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Joseph Ong is the executive director and co-founder for EuroAsia Asset Management. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.